I'm on? Okay, all right. Praise God. All right. We are chapter 4. You know, last week we talked about governing principles. Number one, developing and training people in kingdom principles and lifestyles. Praise God. Tonight we're going to get the governing principle number two. That is making people wholesome in all aspects of life to manifest Christ's likeness. Now, in Mark 1 and 17, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you become fishermen of men." Now, the making process comes after the following process. Most time, you know, people, they want to be made, but they don't want to follow. But the making process comes after the following process. So Jesus told them, follow me, and I'll make you fishermen of men. So he could not make them into what he had desired for them to be unless they first followed. So the following is important. If we don't get that part right, then, you know, we're going to mess up the whole thing. Now, all believers in our churches must be wholesome in the areas of their manhood and womanhood. You know, we're talking about, you know, maturity, growing up in the things of God. So now the author, he mentioned four specific areas that seal or secure maturity into manhood and womanhood. And they are, number one, marriage. Number two, motive. Number three, morality. And number four, money. So we're going to look at marriage. Number one, marriage. Kingdom marriages must reflect the relationship of Jesus Christ in the church. It's one of the things that we have to really have to understand. When it comes down to doing the work for Christ, you know, we have to make sure that, you know, we're solid in our marriages and that sort of thing and stuff, because if not, you know, the devil gonna always gonna bring stuff up and gonna try to cause some kind of separation or that kind of thing. The kind of relationship that must permeate from all activities of a husband and wife together as one is a relationship of sacrifice, honor, and submission. Sacrifice, honor, and submission. Now, husband and wives have to understand. Now, you know, there's been a lot of men like to get a hold of scripture that say, you know, wives submit to your husband. But the scripture says that we're supposed to submit to one another in the affairs of life. So, but there has to be the sacrifice, there has to be the submission, there has to be this honor. Now, submission cannot be forced. Submission has to be an act of one's will, a voluntary act of one's will. So a husband can't force his wife to submit to him. Neither can a wife force a husband. So it has to be an act of your will. Now, as it relates to Christ and the church, Christ gave himself. So a wife will submit herself to her husband if her husband is really laid down his life for her like Christ laid down his life for the church. Y'all with me? All right. So and then that's the honor. Men have to honor their wives, women have to honor their husbands, because unless we do this, then we're going to be operating in the principle of Satan, you know, rebellion and dishonor and that sort of thing. And this is not, if we're going to do what God has called us to do, and we're going to grow up and we're going to mature, we're going to have to, our relationships and our marriages are going to have to be solid. Can't be, you know, wishy-washy and that sort of thing and stuff. Now, our spouses should be our best friends and companions in our life journey. There should never be anyone that's closer to you than your spouse. You should never feel comfortable talking to the opposite sex about your marriage. Never, never. And you shouldn't have, you know, I was counseling this couple, and they weren't members of my church. The pastor sent his members for me to counsel them. And the guy, he had a lot of secrets that, you know, he was, you know, that he had. One thing, his wife couldn't touch his phone. Any mail that came in, his wife couldn't open it if his name was on it. And she could not touch his wallet. So, you know, the pastor sent them to me to counsel him. And so I began to tell him that you know, this kind of activity wasn't right. They had separate bank accounts and that sort of thing. And so I was telling them about, you know, this kind of activity that they were doing. You know, this just wasn't right. Wasn't God, didn't line up with the word of God and that sort of thing. And so the man said to me, he said, well, I just think that, I said, man, you shouldn't be keeping secrets. He said, well, I don't call it keeping secrets. I just call it, you know, my privacy. You know, she violated my privacy. And so I just said to him, I said, well, you know, y'all, that private, I said, so, you know, what happened when y'all get ready to have sex? Y'all cut the lights off, you know, before you get out of your clothes, or how you do it? But, you know, since y'all so secret, you know, so the guy finally tells me, he said, well, this is what my pastor told me that he do. I said, well, why you not at your pastor being counseled? Amen. He said, well, I really just don't trust my pastor's opinion. I said, well, but you trust it enough for you to do what you want to do that he's violating. I said, well, I believe in honor, so, you know, I couldn't chew the man pastor out right in front of him, but I said to him, I said, well, sir, I think you need to go where you respect the man, you know, your pastor, and let him counsel you, because I can't counsel you, because you already got in your mind that you're not going to honor your wife, and the woman just, she tore up, you know, because, you know, he got all these secrets and that kind of thing and stuff. Man had got $30,000 out of the bank. His wife didn't even know it until the statement came in. And he got mad because she opened it up because his name was on it. You understand? So, we're talking about Christian folk. And so we're never going to really mature into man and womanhood in the spirit if we allow ourselves to play these games. Can't play no games. Y'all with me? Yes, can't play no games. And that's one of the things that when I first came to the school of ministry back in 1992, that I heard Apostle, you know, really begin to talk about how, you know, men ought to honor their wives, love their wives, and wives ought to love their husbands and that sort of thing. And I remember when I first went to him for counseling, you know, because I had, you know, I came to him, you know, because I was just needing some advice. This was before, you know, he told me that, you know, the Lord had told him that he was to make me a son. So he told me, he said, okay, I'm in that counseling. And so he said, well, bring your wife back. So I brought my wife with me. And so he started sharing some things with us. He said, when it comes down to ministry, you know, y'all have any kind of odds that y'all have, y'all have to leave that at home. You can't bring it to ministry. You cannot, you know, he said, because it's not about y'all. This is about the Father's business. He said, so any kind of disputes y'all have, when you leave home, you leave them now. You know, if you got to pick it up when you get back home, you pick it up there, but you don't come to the house of God. He told my wife, he said, now, I don't care how mad you are when you leave home. Don't sit up and have a Bible study with your head down and stuff while your husband preaching. You know what I'm saying? So that was some things that, and then he told me, he said, son, you have a good looking wife. He said, and if I hear that you running around, he said, I'm gonna break both of your legs. I said, oh wow. I said, boy, Lord have mercy. This is the kind of man I need to be under right here. Praise Lord. I mean, just straight up say, I'm gonna break both of your legs. Now, you know, you understand what I'm saying? He just became my father. But he let me know right out the bat, you're not gonna play no games. And see, this is the thing that a lot of people can't appreciate. you can appreciate somebody who really wants your, who really telling you what you need to do for your life to go to another level, and not go play with you and go talk. You know what I'm saying? And so it always has told me, you know, there's been times when he jacked me up. You know, he jacked me up, you know, right in front of my wife. Matter of fact, my wife will egg it on. You know what I'm saying? You know, she'll go to telling the thing. And sometimes, see, you always have to have somebody in your life that if you get off course, they can get you straight. And you don't get all offended and all tore up and stuff about it. So there's been times when, you know, I'm at home and stuff and you know, and acting contrary about things and stuff. And my wife just tell me, she said, just wait till I see Dad. I'm gonna tell Dad. I say, wait, baby, we gonna be all right. Everything gonna be all right. Ain't no sense in worrying Dad with this. I'm gonna fix it, praise the Lord. So I jump right back in line. You understand what I'm saying? And so you have to have somebody in your life that you trust enough and you submit it to enough that if things go haywire and stuff, then they can get you back in line. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise God. Hallelujah. But many men and women, you know, they don't want nobody speaking into their life. They don't want nobody, you know, this is my business. You know, I'm my own man. No. You're not going to ever come to a place of maturity with that kind of attitude. You got to have somebody that can speak into your life. You understand what I'm saying? And you are fine with it. Praise the Lord. You know, you get jacked up. Praise God. Oh, Lord, I'm going to do better. Because know what? The next time he see me and he asks me, did you fix that? Yep, I fixed it. And then he going to ask my wife, did he fix it? And she not going to lie about it. Yeah. And so, you know, I got to just make sure that it's right. So, but your spouse ought to be your best friend. So no one else will find that place of closeness with you, with us emotionally or mentally. Now, in Ephesians 5 and 22 and 23, it says, wives, be subject to your husbands, your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. So to give an occasion or room to such an advance will open a pathway of immoral lifestyles or flirting, emotional adultery or sexual acts itself. You know, one thing that I don't practice doing, doing a lot of laughing and clowning stuff with another woman without my wife being around. You understand what I'm saying? Because you can send off certain kind of signals to folk. You know, so I'm not doing no clowning, no jesting and flirting and going on with my wife not around. You know, my wife there, you know, I'll crack a joke or something like that. You understand what I'm saying? But we in on it together. You see what I'm saying? So we have to make sure that we keep ourselves clear. Now, the believer must be well disciplined in their marriages and well nourished with every spiritual help they can get to raise the standard in this corrupt world. Now, that's another thing, you know, I want to say this because, you know, we're all grown in here. The apostle has said this to us many times, you know, wives, make sure you take care of your husband. Don't feed him to the wolves. Praise the Lord. So, you know, a woman shouldn't always be talking about she always got a headache. A headache, her hair hurts, her fingernails hurt, you know, everything hurting, you know, praise the Lord when she ought to be, you know, take care of husband. All right. So we should raise the standard in this corrupt world where life together in holy matrimony is ridiculed by the media and the world system. We must have a conviction of steel that ministry is not complete or wholesome if the family is out of order. Praise God. You know, and that's another thing now. I have somebody speaking to my life. You know, there's been times when things is going on in my family and the pastor say, look, you need to do this, this, and this. I say, I'm going to do exactly what you say. Praise the Lord. You understand? Because unless that family functioning the way they're supposed to be functioning, then how many of you know God's not going to really be able to get the glory out of what he's trying to do? Praise God. Hallelujah. So, you know, my kids grown, but when the pastor tell me, you need to do this and that, I get right on it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To keep this order, we must simply and courageously draw a line and decide that these threatening to encroach our family life must stop. God can't entrust his bride to us when we can't even take care of our own. Praise God. Now, number two is motive. Motive is the reason why we do what we do. Motives become impure when what you desire from the outcome of your actions overshadow and becomes more important than the act itself. It becomes personal and selfish. Now, our motives have got to be right. You know, I've shared some things with you about, our heart and that sort of thing and stuff. God is always looking at our hearts. I don't care what you do to try to make somebody else believe something else about you. God always see your heart. He's always looking at your heart, always. There's no way that you can get by God. No way. I mean, you know, you can have ulterior motives. You can have hidden agendas. But God's going to always expose those hidden motives and those hidden agendas. He's always going to do it. Praise the Lord. Because one of the things that, you know, that a person can't see, a person really can't see your heart, but God can. And so you have to purpose in your heart that, you know, what. All that I do, I'm going to do to please God. I'm not doing it for any kind of, if you're doing things for recognition, you're doing things because, you know, you're trying to get something out of it, then guess what? It's just going to be in vain because sooner or later, God going to expose it. So motives are everything. So motives become impure. Most of us start life pursuing things with unclean motives and hidden agendas. And whatever you do, you must always ask yourself this question: what is my motive? Why am I doing this? You know, even in our giving, we got to always ask ourselves, you know, why am I doing this? Well, if we're not doing it because the Spirit of God is leading us to do it, then we need to check out why we're doing it. See, watch this. We do a lot of sowing into apostles' life. I'm talking about all of us. But we must never do it with a motive. We must never do it because we're looking for some kind of status with him or some kind of position or whatever and stuff, because God will always expose us. Because see, watch this. Whenever you have a wrong motive and whenever what you're expecting to happen don't happen, then you're going to become disappointed. And then not only are you going to be disappointed, you're going to stop doing what you're doing because you was doing it for the wrong reason in the first place. Hallelujah. So motives are everything. So you have to ask yourself all the time, you know, what is my motive? What is my motive? Let's just say, okay, watch this. I always say this to my church. I would never... Let's just say the church have need of money, all right? I'm not going to ever put on some kind of fundraiser or something because I'm trying to get money. Now, if I need it, I'll come to the congregation and say, look, this is what we need. I never do something behind something else to make it look like, you know, we're doing it for this reason, but it's really because we need some money. No, I'm always saying, let's just say if I got in a situation or whatever and stuff, I would never put my hands on the church's money. That's one thing. I learned this way back when we was coming to school here. Apostle always said this. He said, preachers, always have your own portfolio. He said, don't be a preacher who messing around with the church's money. He always said that. I mean, he, from day one, when I first heard him, you know, he dealt with that. And so if I ever need that, I go to congregation. I say, look, y'all, Pastor LeShalt, and I need such and such. Praise the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? I would be straight up without having some kind of hidden agenda, some kind of hidden motive. See, because God is always trying our hearts and making sure, you know, that we're in line with what he's doing. If not, it's going to always be exposed. It always be exposed. So now the word of God says in Corinthians 11 and 31, it says that But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. So now how do we judge ourselves? We judge ourselves, we judge our own hearts by allowing the sharp two-edged sword in the word of God, where it talks about in Hebrews, talks about the word of God sharpening the two-edged sword and how it separates soul and spirit and that sort of thing. It discerns the intents of the heart and that sort of thing. So it exposes it. So we have to let the word of God always be the thing that judge our heart and our thoughts. So we can see all things clearly as he sees and judges the motives within our hearts before they can find expression in our words and action. In 1 John 3:19-22 says, we will know by this that we are of the truth, and we assure our hearts before him in whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. So your motive is everything. You can't be a slickster. You can't be somebody who was a manipulator and that sort of thing and stuff, because you're not gonna really accomplish the things in which God desires for us to accomplish. We're not going to accomplish those things. You with me? And so I think that and that's one of the things that that I appreciate about Apostle, because everything that he does, he makes sure that, first of all, he's hearing from God. And man, let me tell you something. Lord have mercy. A lot of people don't put value on this, but there's many churches all across America and other countries and stuff. Why they scheming? Why they playing games? And do you know, because what's going to happen is most times what's coming out of the pulpit is going to get on the people. So if what's in the pulpit is playing games, then the people going to play games. And in a lot of churches, they full of them. I mean, churches are packed with folk who are about nothing but game. You understand what I'm saying? So in Baton Rouge, I have never seen nothing this crazy in all of my life. Every pastor in Baton Rouge ought to be down here at Word of Life. They don't have sense, But the thing about it is, see, they had this guy told me, say, man, you know, I think the Lord want me to connect with Dr. Thompson. I told him, I said, one thing about it now, you can't come down there playing no game. Can't come playing no games, and ain't no sense you looking for those prestigious platform. Because I knew him, he won't notoriety and stuff like that. I said, that's not going to happen. Amen. And because when you've been with the people that's playing the games, you think everybody playing games. But Apostle will bust your bubble. I'll bust you wide open, praise the Lord. So I just saved him some heartache. And after I told him that, he didn't come this way. So it is rare in the church, and if we really come to the place where we understand, okay, it's one of the reasons why, that Apostle started the school too, so that he can raise up men and women of God, teaching them the word of God and teaching them to walk upright, teaching them to develop, become mature men and women of God, not playing games and stuff. Because now, you can have people that's playing games and it look like they're having a form of success, but it's not. But it won't last. It won't last, because God's got the last word on it. So we need to make sure that our motives are always pure before God. Always go before God whenever it's something that you desire to do or whatever stuff, and make sure that you ask God, Lord, why am I doing this? And if it's something where your motives are not pure about it, you need to just drop it. And allow God to do a work in your heart. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I said something last week, and when I left here, the Holy Spirit really was dealing with me about it, because it just came right out of my spirit. The Lord said, the students in this that's going to this school, the ones that's going in the school on the internet and the ones that's here, God said that that you were handpicked. Yes. That's what he said. He said you handpicked. And when I went to thinking about that, I say, do you know that that God is raising up a people that's going to really do damage to the kingdom of darkness? Because them old folks, you say something like this, pure oil from the can. You know, you're not getting nothing diluted or something. You understand what I'm saying? And then the thing about it is, we are really training people how to really follow the will of God as it relates to, you know, how to walk in and honor, how to follow our leader and that sort of thing and stuff. And that is vitally important, because if we don't understand that, man, we're going to really be in trouble. So when we walk in the light of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit has given us, we'll not stumble. We can assure our hearts before him and know that we are of the truth. Now, when we violate our conscience, we'll walk out of the light into darkness. Let me say this. You must always remember this, that you can never lie to yourself. I'm not saying you lie to other folk, but I'm saying that don't lie to yourself. Always be truthful with yourself. When there's something that you know that's not the will of God and stuff, be truthful with yourself. You know, the reason why I'm doing this is because this is what I'm trying to accomplish, and it's really not the will of God. You understand? And just drop it off. Then the third thing is morality. Now, morality involves your belief system and core values. The ability to live uprightly with high values of ethics and honest dealings with fellow human beings will lead us into maturity of Christ-likeness. Now, this issue of morality does not confine itself to sexuality, but to all dealings with others. One of the things that I've seen in Christendom is many times people act a certain way with fellow Christians. Then when it's people outside of the Christian circle, you know, they treat them, they get over on them, that kind of thing and stuff. Now, I have, you know, I've had a business before, and there was times when God would tell me, you know, I've done the work, and God tell me not to charge the folk. Now, if God tell me not to charge, then that's nothing those folk were going to be able to do. This is where a lot of people do. Well, no, I'm not going to charge anything, you know, just. And then a person say, oh, no, I got to give you something. Well, I mean, if you just want to bless me, no, you can't do it like that. You know, if you tell a person that I'm going to help you, then you let it be help to them. You don't turn around and say, you know, well, if you want to bless me, no, because I'm helping you. See, we got to have integrity. So, you know, we have to be able to deal with folk fairly. Even when we have our own businesses, we need to make sure that we deal with the people who work for us fairly. We need to make sure that, you know, we pay them decent. Yeah. When I had my cement finishing business, everybody that was in Baton Rouge wanted to work for me. You know why? Because I paid them better than anybody else. I paid them real good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Them guys made $200 and $300 a day working for me. And they didn't. Now I stopped back in 99. So they were making real good money way back then. You know what I'm saying? And so I would, they would always, they call me up, man, you got anything going? I could, they could have guys who they were going with other people and stuff, and then they find out I have something. Well, look, man, I'm supposed to be going with such and such, but if you need me, I said, no, you can't do it like that. You know, you're going, you know, if you promise somebody you're going with them, then you go ahead and stick with them. And see, so I didn't, because I was paying more than other folk, I didn't, because I know how it feels for somebody to tell you that they're going with you, and then the next day they don't go and they shorthand it. You shorthand on the job. So if you don't want that happening to you, you can't do that to other folk. See, we have to always be dealing, we have to always deal with people with honesty. It applies to everyone we come in contact with during our walk here on this earth, whether they be Christian or non-Christian. The high values we place on honesty, integrity, purity, peace, dependability will reveal the strength of our morality. Let's say that you work for somebody. You're working for somebody, and everybody know on the job that you're a Christian, but in your trunk, you have a bunch of pens from the company, a bunch of tablets that you've taken. You borrowed money from people on the job and never paid them back. And so what happens is when there's a person who don't know Christ, then the life that you live, it's a witness against Christ instead of witness for Christ. You with me? So that's why we have to be careful how we deal with everybody. Because there are people that's watching your life. Some people are not going to read the Bible, but they're going to read your life. They're watching and seeing how you deal with people. Oh, you're a Christian? Oh, yeah, okay, all right. Look, I need such and such. And then you ever loan somebody some money, and then they look at you crazy like you did them something because they don't want to pay you? That's not the way Christians are supposed to operate. You understand? So we have to make sure that we operate with honesty, with integrity, because if we don't, we got to be dependable. When you go on the job, you're supposed to give those folk, if they want 8 hours, you're supposed to give those folk 8 hours work. And your purpose for going on the job is not to witness to nobody. All right, okay. Might say, well, I be working for the Lord while I'm on a job. No, the purpose of a job is work. It's not for you, I shared this other week. I tried to hire Christians to work for me. I did. And man, they all had the water cooler passing out tracks and all kind of stuff. The concrete getting hard and stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? Man, I say, I hire crackheads. Praise, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Because guess what? They're going to work. They're going to do whatever you tell them to do. Because all they want is Friday. When Friday comes, they want to get paid. But these other folk, they don't want to work. But, and then they won't tell you, it ain't nothing but the devil. My boss is the devil because, I can't even witness on the job. You're not supposed to be witness on the job. You can do it on your lunch break, but you're not supposed to do it on your job. You're supposed to be dependable. They're supposed to be able to depend on you. You're not taking, you're not getting to work late, got somebody else clocking in for you, and then taking long lunch breaks. Ooh, praise God. Hallelujah. So these core values are often neglected, and other non-essential characteristics are often overemphasized. The ability to preach, sing, or lead takes preeminence over the eternal core values, which make a person pleasable and likable. Praise God. So most times when a preacher If he can preach and he can sing. Me and Carlton was at a funeral the other day, and I was had this preaching. I was just introducing Carlton to him. I said, now this man can preach the horns off of Billy Goat, but he won't submit to nobody. And his ministry has never gone anywhere. Never, never. So I said to him, I said, man, you submitted to anybody yet? Oh, pray for me. It's a game. You're gonna be stuck in that same rut the next 15, 20 years. He'd been stuck in that rut for at least 25 years. Because they think that because they have the ability to do that, but they got all these schemes and things that they're running. Man, God is not going to promote you with that kind of foolishness. And so I know that, you know, we're not going to have anybody come out of school playing no games. Proverbs 19:22. What is desirable in a man is his kindness, and it is better to be a poor man than a liar. If core kingdom values cannot be established within the context of the apostolic church believers, then the concept of covenant relationships, apostolic fathering, laying down of our lives for one another, and kingdom community living, and corporate destinies will all be impossible to implement. Covenant relationships, watch this. One of the things that, okay, you cannot have, you know, say, well, I'm with my pastor, I'm following him close and that kind of thing and stuff. And then they got other people who are following also. But when pastor's around, you speak to him and you laugh and you talk to him. But when he's not around, then all of a sudden you don't even know the people. You can't have that. See, because you have to have covenant relationships, because let's just say within LTMA, there is the 12, then there is possibly establishing the 70 and that kind of thing and stuff. So I can't, when I'm around apostle, you know, people come, oh, hey, how you doing? Then when the apostle not around, hey. No, I got to have a relationship with them, because if I don't have a relationship with them, then we can't do the task that's at hand, because it's bigger. It's bigger than, you know, the organization. The people have to pull together, have to know, okay, apostle, what's your agenda? Your agenda is our agenda. So we all have to pull together to make sure that this thing works. You with me? So even in your churches, whatever the vision is that your pastor has, the people that's in place and stuff, you have to be in covenant with them. You have to have covenant relationship. If we don't have these values and stuff in place, all we're going to do is, instead of helping to carry the vision further, all we're going to do is make a big mess of the church. Oh, I don't like such and such. It ain't about who you like. It is about us carrying out the agenda as one man. And then as it relates to apostolic fathering, you know, you have to be able to lay aside. Now, there's not many people who really understand this. When God called you to follow somebody, now the Bible says, he that's not faithful in that which is another man, who gonna give you that which is your own? That's right. All right. There's a lot of folk who started stuff on their own, and God not gonna help them because they hadn't been faithful in that which is another man. Yeah. So although I pastor a church, My first priority, I want y'all to hear this. All of them on the camera right there. My first priority is to help apostle to assist him with the vision that God has given him. So what you gonna do about your church? Well, God is gonna raise up people in the church that's gonna help to take care of the vision. But my main objective is to help the apostle. You understand? And people don't understand this. They had a man call my church and say, you need to tell Pastor Phillips to close his church down and go down at the Word of Life, because all he do is just following Dr. Thompson. I said, well, the next time they call him, they call, and then they hung up the phone right quick. I said, next time they call, tell them Pastor Phillips said, go to hell.
That's right. Come on now.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because you don't understand, don't come talking down on what God has called me to do. If he didn't call you to do it, then you just go ahead and do what you want to do. Leave me alone. You understand? And so we have to have this. We have to, there's values, there's core values, kingdom values that we have to have. We have to have, it's about the kingdom of God. It's not about my thing. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So I have to make sure that in whatever the marching orders are that apostle has given, that's what we follow. You with me? Now watch this. Now, just because I'm here in Word of Life, I'm not saying what I'm saying because I'm here. I'm saying it because this is in me. You understand what I'm saying? And men and women got to know that this old paradigm that's been going on for a long time, you know, everybody trying to do their own thing and stuff. Amen. We cannot accomplish what God has called us to accomplish. Doing it that way. But if we do it the way that God has prescribed for us, we're gonna see the signs, wonders, and the miracles. None of that, nothing gonna be impossible for God to do in our life.
Amen.
Nothing. So we got to have these values. We got to have these core values. Hallelujah. Now, I got a few more minutes here. There has been much resistance to teaching on morality. And that is why we desperately need to raise up these believers who are wholesome in all aspects of their lives and whose moral fiber must be etched upon kingdom values. When we will see loyalty and deep commitment to Arrowhead leadership, that's another thing, loyalty. Loyalty. One of the things about there's four corners that hold up a building, all right? Most time that what the enemy does is he puts in the fifth column. You know, the four columns hold it up, but then there's a fifth column. And the fifth column is how the enemy destroys a church from the inside out. What you mean? Because Satan knows that if he can get you to be disloyal to your leader, then he can tear a church up from the inside. He don't have to use forces from the outside. So our loyalty to our leader is a must. And we have to come to a place where we understand that this is the will of God. It's the will of God that we be loyal to our leader. Now, that's why we need to know them that labor among us. We need to know our man and woman of God. We need to know their hearts. You understand what I'm saying? Because I can't be loyal to somebody who's not loyal to God. But when you have somebody who's loyal to God and they're about kingdom business, man, you ought to be loyal to them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, for the church, a lot of the church world and stuff, and one of the things that the Lord told me, he said, now, I want you to start teaching, especially young people. Matter of fact, at my church, I'm going to start having what I call honor classes. I'm going to teach them how to honor these young people, how to honor their parents, how to honor. See, because if they don't learn how to honor their parents, they're not going to honor nobody in school. They're going to honor the teachers and stuff. They're not going to honor them. And if they're not going to honor them, they get on the team, play ball, they're not going to honor the coaches and those people and stuff. And then they definitely, when they come to the church, they're not going to honor a pastor. So because America is a dishonorable nation, we got to start back teaching honor. Hallelujah. And so, but for a lot of people, it's a foreign language. You mean tell me I need to be honoring a man? Yes. That's the way God set it up. Everything that God did it through human agency.
Amen.
Christ couldn't even get in the earth without Mary.
Right.
Everything he did it through human agency. So you got some people who say things like, man, you know, I'm following the Lord, me. I'm following the Lord. How in the way you going to follow the Lord without following a servant? And so, here in the school of ministry, man, we need to make sure that we get this right. You know, Apostle said this years ago when I was in school of ministry back in 92, 93, somewhere in there. He said, you're going to learn some things that you may not be hearing at your church, but you don't try to turn your church around going over your pastor. You know, I was young, and man, I needed to hear that, because, you know, I was young and thought I was ready to, you know, tear the world down and stuff, you know, but I came to school, and I was coming to school, man, I'm hearing things, you know, that I wasn't hearing my pastor say. But the thing about it is, God didn't call me to go over my pastor. So, the pastor, I'm talking about years ago, he taught this. Taught this years ago. Just, you know, once you go to school, you get some things under your belt and stuff, wait till the pastor start, you know, initiating things, then you can help him. You can help him to implement whatever it is that he's doing. But you never go ahead of him and say, you know, because I got all this information, you know, I'm supposed to, you know, be running the church. No, that's not right. That's not right. Praise the Lord. All right. The last one is money, and I cannot start on that one now, because if I do, I am going to run over time. I'm definitely not going to do that. So praise the Lord. We'll get to that next week. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right.